listening to Sea Control, hosted by the Center for International Maritime Security.
Aloha, shipmates. Welcome aboard Sea Control. It's our first emergency podcast. We've sounded the conch shell, and joining me today to discuss the rollout of surface warfare leather jackets is Jimmy Drennan, a.k.a. the Salty Millennial, a.k.a. the President of the Center for International Maritime Security. So today we're going to talk about the release of the Naval Message announcing rollout of surface warfare leather jackets. As always, our views do not represent the views of the Navy, Department of Defense, or the U.S. government. Jimmy, you are, in addition to all the side hustles mentioned above, a U.S. Navy surface warfare officer. Let me ask you, generally speaking, do SWOs like things?
That's a great intro question. No, the answer is no. We hate things, especially new things. We're very suspicious, skeptical folk because we're used to being on deployment and then getting that nice steak and lobster dinner followed by the 1MC announcement that deployment's been extended. So generally, we are very wary of good deals and new things. So yeah, we don't like stuff. And I think the leather jacket falls in that category. I gotta say, I am not a fan, but I'll be the first to admit I haven't actually worn one. I'm just forming an opinion with no factual basis. I am a millennial and I'm allowed to do that. It's my entitlement on this earth. So deal with it.
Yeah. So what is your first gut reaction here? Because my initial was actually pretty positive, and we can get into why in a minute, but I want to hear about yours.
Just seeing pictures of it, it doesn't look a quality item. I know that's pretty harsh for, you know, having not even felt it or seen it in person, but just my initial reaction, you know, I feel like SWOs and maybe just Navy in general has been kind of burned with uniforms over the past couple decades, you know, the blueberries and just the abysmal rollout of those uniforms and then their eventual demise, you know, the fact that they melted to your skin, but we didn't know about that until years later. The rollout of fire retardant variant coveralls because they found out that the coveralls that we had been wearing also melted to your skin. Or maybe it didn't melt to your skin, but they weren't fire resistant, which is helpful for a shipboard uniform. So they gave us the FRV coveralls, which were basically burlap sacks that got rolled out in a matter of weeks. And you know, and I think they may have gotten better over time, and they did. But that to me is what the leather jacket looks like, just something that was sort of hastily put together and rolled out to the fleet. But, you know, hey, I got to say, Admiral Brown doesn't look half bad wearing it. I will admit, you know, he's got the right look with the swole finger in the picture and the just the command presence. I'll be fair and say that doesn't look bad on him.
Yeah, he wears the hell out of that jacket. Like, the shoulders are always thrown back. As you call it, the swo finger, a.k.a. our knife hand, looks incredible. I was like, okay, I'm ready. Let's go. Who are we fighting?
Yeah.
So I like it. But so I did have the opportunity to wear test it this summer.
Okay.
It's like wear test might be the wrong word. Fit test. And I was positively surprised about it. Like, I remember going back to my room at the Newport Chalet and telling my wife about it. It's like, oh, I just tried this uniform on. So a quick anecdote about like why I was positive about it. It's like I showed up not to the Navy, but to an ROTC unit in September or August of 1999 and got weighed in by Gunnery Sergeant Boffman there as 6'1 and 129 pounds. Like, as the scale registers 129 pounds, the gunny looks at me, he's like, what the blank is the matter with you? He's like, no human adult male's body should be constructed like this. So when I put this jacket on, it was really the first time perhaps in my entire life where I've had a jacket that actually fit me and look good. I do have some concerns about which direction we would go with the zipper on this thing, because like the zipper is can be a single point of failure for the jacket. But as far as the fit and the material and the way it felt, I was positively blown away by the jacket. The second reason why I like it is, hey, this is the first time the Navy has given me a uniform item since 1999, or it will be the first time that the Navy has given me something since 1999. You're telling me I have to do minimal administrative work and you're going to give me something I'm generally in? And the third is that it appears to upset aviators that we're getting these jackets. It's like, at the very least, if just the people firing off 15 memes in a row is any indication, it's at least a little bit under their skin, even if they would say it wasn't. You know, I'm relatively...
I think if they liked it, you know, I don't know that it would be, might even be worse if they liked it. So it is kind of nice that, they're all up in arms about it. They say, oh, well, that's not a leather jacket. This is a leather jacket. And then they're sharing all these pictures of, you know...
Ted Williams.
Or John Boyd, you know, or these legendary... you know, 1940s, 50s heroes. And, you know, it's just funny because aviators don't look like those guys either. So, you know, I think they in their minds, they do, which, you know, that's fine. That's what an aviator does. You know, he lives in his own mind.
I mean, so in fairness, like, we're all kind of like that six panel meme come to life of like, this is what I think I do. This is what my mother thinks I do. This is what my spouse thinks I do.
Yeah, and I've seen the, you know, that's there's a swole version of that. There's an aviator version of that, and they're pretty spot on, to be honest with you. But so when I've seen the aviator reactions on Twitter, you know, with the just the eye rolling and the you know here's a real leather jacket. It's it is kind of refreshing to go, you know what? I don't mind something that pisses off aviators this much. So I'm with you on that. You know, I buy into all the reasons that you like it. I would add one more, and that is, if wearing a leather jacket means that I get to wear khakis more often, then I am in. If I could go to work tomorrow in khakis instead of my wannabe army uniform that I'm wearing now, I would be a happy man. So I can't imagine wearing the leather jacket with the green camis. It just, that doesn't seem to make any sense at all. I don't think that's the intent. From what I read in the message, I think it's supposed to be just with khakis, right?
I actually read it as like it's for shipboard use. So in your camis, maybe with the coveralls, but I have the same reaction as you. It's like, I can't really fathom wearing this item underway with any other uniform other than khakis.
Yeah.
It looks good with the... with khakis, and I should caveat this by saying I have no fashion sense whatsoever, so it looks
well, that's why we're in the military. takes care of our decisions in the morning on what we're gonna wear.
But you know, I did get a note from one of my friends like, hey, I hope you realize that badasses in leather jackets only speak in Top Gun quotes. That's 75% of what I do every day anyway, so I have yet to see the problem.
Yeah, you can also speak in battleship quotes, too. So we have battleship.
Yeah,
we'll always have that.
That was kind of a letdown. So we talked about the aviation community's response, which seems a little sensitive. From SWOs, now I did some informal polling via Facebook the other day, so I can report some data there. But it's like, what have you gathered from the folks that you hang out with?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think the crowd that I tend to attract with my my online personality tends to be fairly negative, and they want to bitch about the Navy, you know. And to be fair, that's my whole thing with the Salty Millennial. It was kind of an outlet for that kind of communication. You know, in general, a bitching sailor is a happy sailor, so. We always seem to, at least in this whole community, I think we seem to enjoy griping about things and feeding off of hate and discontent. And there's something about our culture. I'm not even saying it's really wrong. It's just kind of our nature. I think we kind of need to get a handle on it. You know, something I was going to bring up earlier is, you know, we spend the first half of our career, first part of our career, kind of hating on everything, you know, when we're ensigns and junior officers, and you know, everything that big Navy or the man puts down on us is awful, and we want to resist it. And then at some point there's this switch where we become senior officers and we're put in charge, or maybe even put in command, And then all of a sudden, everything that the Navy does is we have to embrace it. And whether we like it or not, we feel this need to, I guess, pretend is the right word. I'm not sure, like we like it. And it can be so, you know, just disingenuous. We try to tell our sailors every order or policy item or new piece of guidance. You know, and I'm talking about more than just uniforms, but uniforms can be just an example. I think it comes across pretty disingenuous when we try to tell our sailors we like every order that we get. It's you have to have the nuance. You have to be able to make an actual decision for yourself. And if you're a junior officer, then you know what? It's okay to like something. And if you're a senior officer, it's okay to not like something that the Navy does. And, just to judge each thing on its own merits. And then when it comes down to it and you get an order, a lawful and ethical order, then it's time to follow it, you know? I think most of the SWOs that I have seen, at least, and I will admit that I'm in a little bit of an echo chamber. You're pretty resistant to the SWO jacket. But if the Navy tells me that I'm going to wear a SWO jacket, a SWO leather jacket, and I have to wear it, which I know it sounds like we're not being told we have to wear it. It's just something that we can earn. So that's cool. But I mean, hell, if it's a new part of my uniform complement, then okay. I don't like it, but I'm going to do it because I'm a grown up and I'm okay with that. So yeah, I just think that we might do a little better to just embrace this idea that we can not like something. And as professional military officers, we're going to do it anyway. This is stemming from a conversation I had with an admiral about leather jackets and about whether, you know, they are beneficial to improving the esprit de corps of the SWO community, the admiral. And I got into the conversation based on me being snarky on the internet, like I tend to do. You know, he brought up some good points, but... you know, the fact that that I didn't like it, I didn't shy away from that. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I'm saying publicly I don't like the leather jacket. It's no, it doesn't make me a bad person or a bad naval officer. And just I'm still going to wear it. I don't like it, but that's okay. You know, just my opinion. I'm allowed to have that opinion. Anyway, that was a rambling response to. I think that that I don't like it, and those that are in my echo chamber also don't like it. But I mean, I am very, I actually am genuinely interested to hear what you're hearing from somebody who does like it, and whether or not you're seeing a more balanced response.
So what I would tell you is it's 70-30. It was a negative opinion, and that's fine. Like, I can go through like some of the objections, and what was the other thing that was interesting was like some of the positives, like the people who responded positively didn't reply in the group that I sent this out to. They were
interesting.
Ashamed to admit that they liked the jacket or thought it was okay.
Were they junior folks or senior folks?
No, and that's what one of the points I made to the group is like all these responses I came in because, you know, who am I talking to here? It's all commanders and lieutenant commanders for the most part. There might be an odd lieutenant in there or something. I think my old ops officer chimed in. But we're not the target audience, right? 05s and 04s, like the target audience, if you're going to build a esprit de corps, it's like you got to build it from the bottom. It's like, hey, are the ensigns and the JGs going to find this cool? And kids basically who are in high school now and coming into college.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that the last 6 months have taught me, it's that I should not in any way attempt to anticipate what's going to be fashionable to the folks in that generation. It's like I was back at SWAS this summer, and 80% of the ensigns and JGs are rolling around with these terrible mustaches, which I would have never thought would have been a thing. It was not Movember either. It was just, this is how I wear my facial hair now.
Just voluntarily rocking the stash.
Yeah, this is what we do now. And then the other, you know, sort of change moment for me was I was back home at Christmas with my mother, and my mother was telling me that high school boys are now getting perms, which is... a person who has curly hair and has cut his hair short his entire adult life because he hates his curly hair, I don't understand why you would ever get your hair permed.
I can't even comprehend that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyone who has seen me dress knows that I should not be commenting on fashion trends and what other people will find fashionable. I should just stay out of that. So there's that piece. The other piece is like folks talking about the cost of these leather jackets to the community. look at some of the casualties that we have to the spy radar, and individual parts of that system can cost tens of thousands of dollars. This is just a rounding error. In comparison, it was like the cost, we're not going to develop some great capability because we decided to buy SWO jackets instead. This is kind of a benefit for us and a nice to have. So if you want to jacket, I'm in.
It's actually the cost thing is what got me into this conversation with the Admiral about the leather jackets, because I, you know, made a snarky comment on the internet, something like, you know, oh, you know, we could be spending this money on improving readiness and surface warfare training and blah, 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 and just being generally snarky. And he called me on it. And it was a fair point. Like you just said, it's a drop in the bucket, the amount we're spending on these jackets compared to the amount that we spend on readiness and training and maintenance and all these other things that are very important and we need to continue focusing on. You know, it's more, his point was it was more about building the esprit de corps. And like you point out, it is not about the 04s and above, but the younger generation is the one that is going to build that esprit de corps and that slow culture. And I think that's what they're going after. So that's a good point. And I definitely don't understand them either. I didn't even know about the perms, but I was already lost after skinny jeans. I'm just it's not, you know, I reserve the right like every generation before me to tell those damn kids to get off my lawn. I don't know if I'm ever going to understand them, but it's just part of growing up, I guess.
A couple of sort of lessons learned here yesterday is folks responded to me. One was that this has been tried before back in the early 2000s. And, you know, folks had a lot of the same reactions, like, oh, we're not going to wear this underway. Never really caught on. The second, and I've lost my train of thought now.
I'm going to interrupt you so that you can regain your train of thought. But I was thinking about actually wearing it and using it. And that's that might be the difference. You know, we were talking earlier about whether or not people are going to wear this underway. And, you know, what are we wearing underway? We're wearing the green camis, the NWU type, what are the type twos, I think. It's embarrassing to admit. It's been a bit since I've been underway. But I'm seeing pictures of people wearing the green camis underway. I don't know if it's like by choice of the commanding officer or what, but
I think those may be folks about to pull in. So they're in their import uniform, but.
Okay. With coveralls, then I could see the leather jacket being worn with coveralls. And that's my point, is it's not going to stick around if people don't actually use it. And, you know, part of that is getting the younger generation to embrace it. But also part of it is getting the institution to embrace it and giving opportunities to wear it. I mean, if we're never wearing khakis, I'm not sure I see that this will catch on, but maybe with coveralls underway, I guess. I mean, I could see that, but it seems to me, with the pictures I've seen, I mean, the one picture with Admiral Brown in khakis, it seems like it's designed, it's a black leather jacket that seems perfectly partnered with the khaki uniform. Just to me, it's like you got to bring back the khakis to make the, you know, it's the Reese's peanut butter cup, you know? I mean, you gotta have both. If you don't, then I don't think it matters how much people like it or not. If there's not like an institutional buy-in and opportunities to wear it, then it seems like it might be another misadventure of the uniform board. But I don't know, yeah, prove me wrong.
The other major criticism I saw was like, oh, well, you know, we're just trying to create this cultural moment here. Well, one, I think all those moments have to be created. Eventually, you have to create a tradition before it becomes tradition. And I mean, it's not like it's the first time we've stolen something from the aviators. We didn't have SWO pins. Like, they had Wings of Gold first, and then we came out with SWO pins.
Yeah.
Look, there. I have very few possessions that I treasure more than my SWO pin, just because of what it took me to get it.
Yeah.
If we're going to tie this to that, and not how we feel about it now, it's going to be like, okay, what does it look like 15 years from now if implementation is able to happen? And that was another lesson learned. I recovered the train of thought. Here's what it was. It was an aviator friend of mine telling me that, hey, when he graduated from flight school, it took him, I think it was 2 years to get his jacket. So the rollout will be important to success as well. It's just like, you don't want to falter here as we...
Yeah.
Away from the pier, and if we screw up the rollout, well,
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You kind of get one shot. Hopefully we can manage that. If we care about this enough, and you know, we seem to be making a fairly big deal about it with the message and the pictures and the articles and everything. And apparently there's a SWO leather jacket program manager. So, you know, I don't know how you get that job. You know, it's a big enough deal to have a program manager. So, okay. So hopefully he can roll it out.
I mean, I'm technically in the acquisition community, and now I have a life goal, is to be that leather jacket program manager. And then I want to get stitched across the back of the jacket, SWO leather jacket program manager.
You'll need to have like a flight two of the SWO leather jacket so that you could make a name for yourself and rewrite everything in the program and then call it your own and call it Flight 2, and then you'll get some big award for it.
Well, if it's really a SWO thing, I'm going to call it Flight 2 Alpha.
So yeah, there you go.
It's like, no, guys, we're going all the way SWO on this.
Right. I can't wait to see the leather jacket Flight 2 Alpha.
Any other thoughts, Jimmy, before we...
You know, it's the point you made about creating the moment. I see that side of the coin. That was part of the conversation I had with the not to be named admiral. But I see the other side of the coin too. I mean, it's like the SWO pin. It's important to you. Mine's important to me. But it's the things that I had to do and learn to get that SWO pin that kind of imbue it with meaning. And I think that the jacket itself is a good kind of like token, you know, it's a token that we can imbue with meaning over time, but that will be necessary, and we will need to focus on all of the hard stuff that comes with improving our culture and readiness and maintenance and training and just everything else, you know, all that hard work that we'll have to do as a community. And if we do that, then the leather jackets can become like a lightning rod for that. So that, you know, I see both sides of the coin. I guess I would argue that even without the token, we would still need to do all those things. Maybe it does serve to accelerate that stuff, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, so. I also think that the jacket is, you know, kind of the second piece of SWO flair, if you will, is a natural consequence of all the other communities now getting pins. Now, it used to be line communities had pins, and that was kind of it. Well, now everybody's got a pin. How are we going to distinguish ourselves again here? Okay, well, we'll steal one more thing from the aviators. And I'm okay with that, too.
I don't like this. Kind of gets back to maybe the most important point that we've made this whole time is making aviators mad. So I'm good with it. If that's, you know, I think in summary, I'm good with it if it makes aviators mad and I get to wear khakis.
That's probably the greatest SWO sentiment of all.
That's right. And black shoes.
Yeah.
God bless the black shoes.
I want to thank my guest, Jimmy Drennan. Jimmy, do you have anything in the pipeline that you're working for publication?
You know, I always have a couple of things going on for the salty millennial is bound to snark off about something sooner or later. So keep an eye on the Naval Institute blog and saltyherald.com. Eventually, I will finish a series of articles that I've been writing for SimSec called The Bad Day Scenario. You can find the first three on the SimSec website. One of these days I will conclude that series, but you'll have to just wait with bated breath on that one because it's taken me a while. So it turns out that the real world just kind of is keeps on catching up to my thoughts, and then I end up writing and it seems like I'm just copying what actually happens in the press. So, well, you know, as usual, the real world ruined everything. So, well, I'll figure it out. Anyway, so there are things coming. I'm not going to make any promises on when you'll see them, but there are always new things on SimSec. So take a look on a daily basis, simsec.org. And we've got a couple of exciting projects coming up for 2020. So keep an eye out for those. And you can always find us on social media, Twitter, Facebook. And lots of stuff coming up. And this has been it's been a lot of fun, Jared. I Appreciate you having me on the podcast and reinvigorating the Sea Control podcast. A lot of good interviews coming up.
Thank you. Very kind. We're looking at Angry Staff Officer and Claude Barrabee coming on to talk USS Constitution next week and a few other guests
Thanks.
in the future. So very excited about what we're doing here, and thank you for the opportunity. For the listeners, thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
How often do